who Hannah Linden's kindly with us, the Green Party MP, is being asked regularly about the ongoing crises in Northland, where 5 months after severe storms and flooding, some whānau remain displaced, including those still sheltering at Ngāti Waimarae and struggling to access support due to living off-grid. Thanks for your time again, Tuhine. Tēnā koe, Huhana.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Tēnā tātou katoa.
This points to the rugged situation of housing in the north, and particularly for those who are attempting to live off-grid. And these are numerous in numbers, aren't they? A lot of our people are choosing to try life that way.
Yeah, we have a lot of whānau that are returning home onto their whenua Māori, which is a win, because we do want our people to come home, bring their skills, their talent. But often, this whenua Māori, of course, we don't have necessarily the best access to both services, to infrastructure, and in fact, you know, it may not have been occupied for some time. So when we do move back, there's a significant amount of work to develop our footprint on that whenua Māori. So we do see a lot of people taking up cabin life. And myself, I did whenua Māori life too with my baby for a period of time. And you know, it's a good life, but it is hard when crisis does strike. And that's one of the challenges, I think, in terms of how do we support whānau to go back to their whenua Māori and the infrastructure relevant, because getting electricity and all the wastewater and everything is really, really tough, but it's also expensive and it's prohibitive for a lot of whānau. So those are some of the challenges that I've seen in the district. But, you know, how do we support those that are there and are living in that way, and to provide them a pathway to be able to have the power, the water and the septic running in a sustainable and resilient way?
Well, we know that some people were displaced by the weather events, but others choosing to live off-grid. What would be the balance of those displaced as against those for whom this is a lifestyle? And I want to acknowledge, as you did too, Huhana, that this is attractive to our whānau Māori rather than being at the behest of local government and governmental structures and expectations. You know, people say, oh, well, there's our whenua. I'll go solar, I'll go septic tanks, cook with gas, etc. How common is this, and what are some of the dynamics around it that you're witnessing in the north, Huhana?
Oh, it's very common. It's very, very common, Mata. You could drive along most roads in the north and you can see some cabins popping up there. And the tamariki are living their best lives. They're going to the local schools. It is also a solution that supports those, you know, because it's expensive to find both a rental or even to buy in the north. So let's not fool ourselves that the cost of living isn't impacting our people. So cabins or pods, living off-grid is really appealing, but it is the access to the infrastructure like the wastewater and the solar, which could be supported by Crown, and investing and supporting pathways for that sustainable living would be a massive support, because even though costs are coming down for like solar kits, they are still expensive. Now, when I think about those that are displaced from both the January and the March weather events in the north, we still have whānau that are in cabins or in camper vans and are connected to local marae. And it's a tribute to the way that the community, the village, supports one another. But the solution is complex, and the iwi as well as Crown agencies are working together for something because, you know, our whānau do want to return to whenua Māori. They want to live a simple life, and it's not like we have, you know, a huge stock of houses in rural Northland where we can put these whānau as well. And I think about, for example, with our whānau in Hokianga, solutions there also are limited, and it has seen some of the whānau have to move out of the district for housing, which is really difficult, of course. It's a hard decision, but when you've got mokopuna, and I know there were those with disability as well, so it is trying to find a sustainable solution.
So you decide to live off-grid. Are there any expectations from local council? There's an explosion in tiny home living, I'm not sure that I've heard our iwi Māori talking of this phenomenon, if you will, and our people just putting up cabins, putting up structures, trying to live off the land, planting a marakai. Do you think that as a people we are gearing up as well as we could to support those who are looking to get back onto the land in this way?
I think it's a hapu and a marae complexity that we have, but also it's our whānau taking their futures into their own hands and making the commitment to come home and noho whenua. And in these challenging times with the cost of living, how expensive rents and to purchase a home is the ability to come home onto your whenua and be able to live a tiny life, but also contribute back to your marae and into your kura and your kāinga is enriching in itself. So you might have limitations whereby you may not have power or running water, that type of thing, and living through a long drop. But actually you're sustaining yourself in a means which is tiny living, but the richness of being at home fills your cup and you're doing it with purpose. And so I can only talk from those that I know that have made the choice on purpose to leave the cities and go back to their whenua Māori. I think in terms of local government, there needs to be some flexibility given in working with whenua Māori, because as soon as somebody puts a footprint on whenua Māori, council wants to charge rates. And, you know, rating has been used as one of the tools for alienation of whenua Māori, but also, like, let's be real, if you have, like, a cow and a cabin on the whenua, you know, we need some common sense in the conversation. But these are some of the challenges that we do have, whereby, you know, council starts to look at rating the whenua Māori, because we've got low paid Māori rates up in the north, and particularly it's the far north. Good questions for, you know, our local government Māori ward councillors. What are they seeing? Also for our mayors. But how do we work with whānau to be able to maybe contribute part of the rates? But, you know, let's be realistic. It's tiny living, it's coming back, and you're contributing to communities that we do. We are short on human capital. And here we are, we're coming home, we're on the marae, we're doing the mahi, and we're working, contributing to the economy, and our babies are back in the wākainga.
Well, that's a good thing. What if you're not working? Are locals getting hōhā with people who just come back and sit around? Because there's no shame in being unemployed, but there perhaps is for being lazy. And so, you know, I just wonder whether these people are moving back into the hokainga, back onto the whenua, because they're sick of being dictated to in urban life, if you will, but whether they're going back with a sense of purpose to tautoko the communities that they are now calling home. They're from these places, I know. But in the most part, do you think that they're contributing, or some of the locals might be hōhā?
I can only speak to my experience and what I see in the kāinga that I frequent, and they are part of the backbone of the marae committee. They're your ringaraupā. They are actively contributing to schools, to community, to rugby clubs, that type of thing. So they're only adding more to the life and the richness of the hokainga. But also, you know, you're coming home, you're a townie, so you've got to, you know, build up your relationships, improve yourself in these spaces, get on some committees. It's like anybody who's returning home, you've got to cut your teeth. I think that this is a wonderful benefit of having whānau coming home. It's just like, what is the pathway so that they are supported and that they can connect? You know, what is that path into the marae, onto your school committees, into the JMB, that type of thing? So it's an opportunity, I think. And from what I've seen, everyone is doing their best. And in challenging times, with the cost of living going up and the prices, there they are, they've got their māra, they're just living tiny, but they're wanting to do their part to contribute to strong community, strong marae and strong hapu.
It's a really interesting dynamic. And Rangi was just saying he's picking up a lot of people who are doing just that and sort of cataloguing their journey on social media about getting back home, rebuilding the old whare or putting something up themselves. Mm. And as we say, living off-grid, it's not unusual for our people to want to do that. What brought you back onto the grid, Huhana Linden? What was your reason for leaving that lifestyle, that type of living, for something different?
I had little babies at the time, and we spent 2.5 years off-grid living on whenua Māori. It's complex because, of course, it's multiply owned, and my pathway to be able to put the infrastructure up and all of that type of thing with diverse voices, it became challenging. So, and winters are hard, you know, that type of thing. So it wasn't moving necessarily as fast as I'd like. So I came back to town. And so I'm a townie, but my whenua Māori is just there, and my whānau continue to live there and support our marae. And I'm really grateful for the experience. It's humbling, but also it connects you closer to your whānau and your marae. And I really would love to be able to do something of that nature so that I can be back in the kāinga rather than in a whare Pākehā, to be fair.
Okay, well, perhaps that's something that as a people we need to gear up for. I think there are many who, if haven't considered it, are considering it right now about the chances of moving the fams back to feel the pride of the whenua and to not be caught up in this sort of urban rat race. So it's something that we need to be mindful of. Can we just wrap up with a comment about this conservation land? It's been one of the hottest topics. And whilst we have this sort of dismissive, oh, it's only bits and bobs attitude coming from the conservation minister, and might I say we might have expected something a little more encouraging than what we're getting from that minister. The Greens' position on it, because there is talk that great tracts of land could be up for sale. Just bring us up to speed with discussions of the past week, please, Huhana.
Look, I tell you, the submission process is going really well. We've had thousands and thousands of submissions coming into the select committee on this legislation. The Greens are running a petition right now, and we're nearly at 50,000 signatures against the legislation. The minister cannot dismiss and say this is bits and bobs. When you look at the land that could be available for revenue generation or disposal, it is significant. And there is no way that you can downplay this, because you're actually opening up the release of this vast conservation estate to private interests, and the buffer of, oh, it could go back to iwi, to Mau Te Mau. Well, it took a decade for Ngāti Rehia to receive Kōrori Pōpā back, you know, so let's not, you know, get distracted by that, because the main issue is around the way that these maps were released by Forest and Bird, and now Greenpeace has released a detailed GIS map where you can actually see the minerals that have been identified on the DOCS estate. Really, really interesting. And so as you can see on these maps, the vast array of types of land, whether it's forest, whether it is like Rākau Mangamanga in the north, or you know, the Raukumara in the Bay of Plenty, east coast. These are areas of huge significance to iwi Māori and community, and need to be protected for future generations. The push and the drive that DOC now has to be revenue generating, we should be investing more in the protection of these sacred spaces, of these taonga for future generations, rather than looking to free them up for private interests to make a dollar. And I think that's some of what New Zealand is pushing back on right now. So, you know, submissions are still open, and we encourage whānau to put their voice in. No matter how small or how big your submission is, it all counts.
Thanks very much, Huhana. Good catching up with you. Ngā mihi. We'll talk again soon. Keep up the good work on the campaign hustings. Great to have you with us today.